Amen. I want to read from two scriptures and Hebrews, where I've been preaching from, Hebrews chapter 10. I'll just read that. And then I want to mainly go to 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8, if you'd like to read there with me. And I'm just going to read verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." In other words, if you keep your confidence, there is a reward to it all, right? In 2 Kings chapter 8, there's a story of a very good lady that had a faith in God that I think that we can emulate. It says here in verse 1, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son had been restored to life, saying, Arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass that at the 7 years end, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried unto the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field, since the day that she left the land, even until now. Amen. Restore it all. Hallelujah. Well, I want to preach on the coincidence of providence. The coincidence of providence. And I have to say, we can have confidence in providence as well. But providence is that doctrine where you believe that God is so sovereign in the way that he works things out, that he can arrange for meetings. He can arrange for the right word to be said at the right time. He can bring Gehazi before the king and the woman before the king at the right time during the right story. Better than anybody that's ever wrote a novel can work all things out. God can work all things for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. If you believe God and keep your confidence in God, there's a reward. There really is. There's a reward after a while. And so here we have a story, wonderful story. And you all know that this woman had a good past. She was a woman that admired the man of God because she admired God. She was respectful to the man of God because he represented the word of the Lord. And I'll have to say that she was good to the man of God, while the majority of Israel was not. And during the time of famine, the majority of this nation was destroyed. But this lady was protected. because she showed her attitude towards God in her reflection of how she treated the man that represented the Word of God. And she had a great honor for him, to the point where when he got a word from heaven, it was going to take place. She had housed him, she had provided for him, and then finally God said through him, "What would you want?" "Oh, that I could have a child." And God blessed her with a child. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, all of a sudden, the tragedy of tragedies took place. The little boy, while he was out with his father, had something go wrong in his head. I don't know if it was a heat stroke, or it may have been an aneurysm, but he said, "My head, my head." And he died. Well, I tell you, that was a tragic thing indeed. And so she went for the man of God again. What a wonderful story about how that when Gehazi went to see her, she said, "It is well." Well, I believe she had a confidence in God. Can I say to you, this woman really had a faith that was great and powerful, that kept her spirit and soul. You talk about peace. She had a peace that passed all understanding. Even before the cross and the resurrection and all the revelation that we had, she had a great confidence in God, did she not? "It is well," she said, and finally she got to the man of God, and I'm not going to tell the complete story. You know how he went and prayed for the child, and the child was raised from the dead. Here we see her in a different situation. It doesn't say anything about her husband, so possibly her husband had died, and she had went through the mourning process, and back in this day, a widow woman was probably one of the most weak and vulnerable women that there was. I mean, unless that someone was poor because of lameness or blindness and didn't have anybody to take care of them, a widow had no authority in society. If she was poor in and of herself, had no way to take care of herself, I'll tell you, she could be a victim very easily. And you see that even in New Testament times when Jesus told that story of the unjust judge. But God provided for this woman who was probably a widow at this time and gave her some instruction. Famine is coming. Now, this was a 7-year famine. God spoke three and a half year famine through Elijah. You know what? When you don't take your whipping too good, you might get whipped a little bit more. And so the nation of Israel didn't pay attention to the Word of God, and they were under the judgment of God just a little bit longer this time. They still didn't listen too good. I'll tell you, rebellious children, they can be stubborn, can't they? Amen. But God was trying to bring them in line. And here the 7-year famine came, and the Lord spoke through Elijah to this woman. And before the famine was there, he told her to sojourn. Now, this is an act of faith. She's in her comfort zone. She's where she normally would just enjoy life. And she'd have to think, "Now, I'm going to have to trust this man of God. I'm going to have to trust the Word of God. I'm going to have to leave my comfortable place. I don't see famine right now, but he says famine's coming, and I just believe the Word of God, so I'm going to leave my comfort zone, and I'm going to have to trust God with my land." Now, let me tell you something. She was a widow. She didn't have much recourse in and of her own self, but to leave made sure that her land could be open to anybody to take it over while she's gone. She had no ability to secure her land while she's gone. So she left, and you know why She had peace in her soul. She just trusted God. Can I say this to you? You got to have enough confidence in God to just somehow do some things that's not really safe. Hey, well, who's going to protect my land while I'm gone? Elisha, she didn't say this, but if the devil threw thoughts in her mind like he does mine, I'm sure the question came up, how am I going to know my land's going to be all right when I come back? You don't know. But you just got to trust God anyway. Got to put it in God's hands. Got to believe that Lord's going to take care of you. Say, well, Brother Lloyd, I just don't know. I would like some more assurance. Well, if God took care of you before, is that assurance? If God raised your son before, is that assurance? Hey, he's done things for you before as well. And yet somehow, for some reason, we have a hard time just confidently putting the land in his hands and saying, God, I just am going to trust you to take care of it. Here it is, Lord. Here it is, Lord. Here's that child I can't do anything with. And they're in danger, and I'm just going to have to put them in your hands, Lord. Here's this business decision I can't do anything with. I'm just going to put it in your hands, Lord. Say, how do you function? How do you function when you're in, listen, most of the time going to the land of the Philistines was a sign of backsliding, but this was a sign of obedience. How do you function in the land of the Philistines wondering about your land over here and you really don't have a priest patting you on the back and you don't have Fairland Holiness Church shouting every other service and all you got is people that worship Dagon and different people all around you, a bunch of heathens. How do you stay encouraged? She had her faith fixed on God. She put it in God's hands. Amen. Didn't have a cell phone to call. How's things going? What's going on? How's it doing? Are y'all all right? Nope. Wasn't nothing like that. It's just in God's hands. If God told me to leave, God can take care of my land. God can take care of it all. Oh, I wish I could help you here tonight. And so she took a leap of faith. And sometimes faith, well, all the time, faith is a little dangerous. It always is. And you just have to trust God. And here, she obeyed God when it didn't seem reasonable. It didn't seem right. How am I going to be sure that everything will be all right when I come back? He didn't tell her that. He just said there's going to be a famine in the land. Best thing for you is to go away for 7 years and don't come back until 7 years. And she didn't come back in six and a half. She didn't get anxious and say, well, I'll tell you what, he said 7 years. It's getting pretty close. Maybe I'll just go home right now. She waited at the end of 7 years. I'll tell you, God's got a timing about stuff. It may put our patience through the ringer, so to say. But maybe I'll go back here to Hebrews chapter 10, and sometimes I can quote it and sometimes I can't. And since I got in at 2:00 in the morning last night, and I'm still on California time, I have a feeling. Amen. I'll just try and read it to you. It says here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse, 35, it says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Till 7 years are up, then you receive the promise. You know what? She had to believe God was going to take care of her while she was traveling. She had to believe God was going to take care of her in the land of the Philistines. And not only take care of the land she couldn't see, but she had to believe God was going to take care of her wherever she traveled, wherever she sojourned. Amen. And after she obeyed, yeah, here it is, it's 6 years. It's getting close, but I got to wait. I got to wait until seven. Isn't that something? Seven is always that divine completion, that divine perfection, that place where God has done his perfect work. And amen. And the leper has to dip 7 times, and she has to stay away 7 years, and there has to be a certain waiting period until God's done. You are in need of patience. Hallelujah. Amen. Until after you've obeyed, then you get the promise. Well, I can't wait. Let's open up the Christmas presents early. Amen. No, you got to wait till Christmas Day, God says. Amen. That's not in the Bible. That's just, you know, my way of saying it here tonight. So, you're in need of patience. You need a patience. You say, well, amen, like that one fellow, Lord, I asked for patience. Now, where is it? You know, I'd like to, let's get this patience stuff done. I'm ready for the promise. She waited. We don't have all the idea of what she'd done, but she was kept safe while she traveled. She continued to believe God and did not fall away to the Philistines' God. She was not influenced and pressured by these others. Amen. And finally, she came back home. You know what she found? Somebody else had control of her land. That's what it was. She couldn't just come back and move in her house. She couldn't come back and just start telling the servants, go out there, plow the field, get it all ready, let's start for a harvest. She had to go to somebody greater in authority to get her land back. And you know what some people would have done? They'd have sat right down there and pouted and said, here I obeyed God, and look how God treated me. Look at what God done to me. I obeyed what he said. He told me to sojourn. That's what I did. I come back and look at this mess. God didn't take care of my stuff. He didn't do it one bit. Hey, wait a second. Somebody was taking care of her land. They may have been squatters, but at least it wasn't overgrown with a bunch of brambles and bush and all this other stuff, you know. Amen. She may have not could have seen it just right away. However, it doesn't say she did this. She may have been a woman of such great faith and great power that it didn't faze her in the least. I don't know, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of us, I have a feeling, would have been pouting there for the first little bit. And look at this mess. I trusted God. I obeyed God. Now what? But that's not the way she did. What she did. All of a sudden, the idea came, I'm going to go to somebody in authority. Now listen, folks, there was judges and so on in Israel, but she didn't pick a judge. She picked the king. Do you realize what a step of faith, what a leap of faith, what an amazing thing this was for a widow woman to go before the king? Amen. You read that parable of the unjust judge. They didn't have a political sway. There was no AARP back in this day. Amen. The king was not worried about the next election and how the widows were going to vote on him. It didn't matter to him. Amen. She was going to go to the king, not some lower judge. She was going to go to the very top. In command. I'm telling you, God had to put that in her heart. Amen. God had to put it in her heart. And I do not know how Gehazi got before the king. I don't know what ordered his steps to put him here. It doesn't say. But do you realize if she hadn't had some squatters on her land, she'd have never went to the king. If she'd have just come home, everything was fine. Just move in like everything was going on. This coincidence of providence would have never took place. But God had some people move in, and they thought they's taken over this. You know, people take advantage of weak folks. Amen. I've never had it happen, thank God. I don't believe I have, but, you know, I broke down out on the road many a times. I've always had people help me. Amen. Strangers have helped me. I give God the praise for that. But I've known of some folks at times that's had people just rip them off because they saw them broke down. And I'll tell you, people take advantage of you when you're in a bind sometimes. And that's the way these folks was doing this poor widow woman. See, while she's gone, we'll take over her land, and she won't be able to do anything about it, even if she does come back. And they didn't know that God was using them to keep the land clean and keep it ready for her to come back. I'll tell you what, God can even use the devil, and he don't even know it. God can take the wrath of man and make it his praise and his glory. He really can. Oh, hallelujah. Well, here they are. They're keeping land, and she comes in. She looks, and she wants her land back. They're not going to give it. I'm going to have to go to some authority to get my land back. So she picks the king, and God has Gehazi set up right there, and he's not just standing there. Well, tell me some stories. Here's a heathen king that worships idols, that's full of the devil, amen, and wanting to hear what the great man of God, Elisha, has been doing. Tell me some stories. And so it's story time with Gehazi. Amen, and he's telling about this miracle, that miracle, and all of a sudden God, amen, puts it in his heart to tell about this woman and how her son was raised from the dead. And as he is telling the story, he must have been set up in some court official. I don't know. It seemed like he must have got bored with every case and said, hey, just kind of tell me some stories, keep it low, so, and I'll listen to what you have to say. And then all of a sudden, the next court appearance is this woman, and as he comes to the end of his story, the Bible says that she cried unto the king. Let's see. Amen. She cried unto the king. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son had restored to life cried to the king for her house. Here's the next case. What's this case now? Oh, Gehazi, keep it coming. What's this case now? It's the case of a woman that needs her house back, that needs her land back. And Gehazi looks and says, well, this is the very woman that I just told you about. Well, tell it to me again. I want to hear it again. And she gets to tell the story. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people say that's a coincidence, but that's a divinely arranged coincidence. It's a coincidence of providence. It's God working this one. It's God, the master chess player, putting Gehazi here, the king here, amen, and a woman here. And he says, checkmate, king, I've got you right now where I want you to hear what I want you to hear. Glory to God. And she tells the story about how that the Lord restored death, restored life to that dead boy. And then she got rewarded because she obeyed. She went away, and what did the king say? Don't just restore her land, but restore all that was hers and all the fruit of the field since the day she left. They didn't even know that they was harvesting grain for this poor widow woman, that they thought they could steal it all from her. Amen. Everything they harvested, make them give it back. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise the holy name of God. God rewards them that obey, friend. Amen. Now, I'll just tell you, I thrill with this story, but I got another story to tell. You remember when Sister Shirley Lester was in revival here? We had went to the PFYC meeting for a couple years, enjoyed it, and was even thinking about going back. And I'd scheduled Sister Shirley later in the book, in the month of April, and so that we could go if we wanted to. More I prayed about it, I didn't feel like going to PFYC. I didn't have any desire whatsoever. It's a great meeting, but it's a long ways for a day and a half. But at any rate, that was neither here nor there. I didn't feel like the Lord really wanted us to go this year. Just didn't. In fact, I felt like we ought to be having revival that week instead. But now Sister Shirley had already told me, Brother Freddie had already told me they had a revival already that week. And so I called up Brother Freddie. I said, could we switch? Would you ask that brother if you could move this revival to this week? So he called him up, and the very day that he called, that brother was going to call Brother Freddie and say, I just got asked to preach some type of camp meeting, fellowship meeting or something during that time, and he wanted to switch places in revival himself. Hallelujah. Just a coincidence, but I say it's providence. Hallelujah. And so we started revival, and you remember how Sister Shirley started from Psalm 30. And as she started that revival, she said that that was the theme verse for her year. God had gave it to her. And she was preaching on preparing for the night, looking for the day. And for the most part, she had preached the night, prepare for the night, prepare for the night, every night. And I'll tell you, we was having a very good revival. God was blessing our church. There was some things happening. I know that God was moving right then. At that time, we needed it right then. And I was looking forward to a long revival. And then while that they was over at our house, they got the call from the doctor that Sister Shirley had been diagnosed with cancer, which I'd known that, before they came, that she was going to get the diagnosis when they came in. Now, I want you to think about this. First of all, we would have not had a revival with Sister Shirley if we hadn't moved it earlier. But secondly, even her family said that they were thankful that she was with us. I mean, I'm sure she would have, if she could have been with her family at the time she got the news, it would have been a good thing. But of other people, this church has been very dear to her. She was so glad that she was with us when she got the news, because it was a great blessing and somewhat of a consolation to her. Y'all remember, we prayed for her, and she went, and Brother Todd Armstrong preached good on Friday night, and I finished the revival, and I preached on outer darkness. I continued with the theme about night, outer darkness. We are not of the night, from 1 Thessalonians 5, and then I finished her message on Psalm 30. Instead of the night, preparing for the night, I preached on looking past the night, because in the verse for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. I preached that Sunday night. Y'all remember? Some of y'all remember. I remember Brother Tim, Sister Judy really got help that night, and some others. We had a great altar service, looking past the night. I preached from Psalm 30. Well, I was praying about what I needed to preach when I went to California. And sometimes God don't give me a message until I get someplace. But I was praying. I asked the Lord to give me some messages, if he'd be pleased to give them all to me before I got there. It sure helped me. And he gave me those messages. And on Wednesday night, you know what I was going to preach? Psalm 30. That message I preached on Sunday night here at Fairland, the end of the revival. And I was going to tell this. I said, Sister Shirley got I was going to tell that story about how she got diagnosed at our church a little bit, maybe more brief than that, but I was going to tell that story. And then I was going to say, but Sister Shirley, I called her back. I said, have you ever considered Psalm 30 for you yourself? I said, I want you to read it and think about your situation. It says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of him. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I said, sister, you consider the fact that this scripture is for you. And she read through, and there's some more stuff there. I didn't read it all. And she read it through, and it encouraged her. And then, lo and behold, a little while later, Brother Johnny Gabbard called Brother Anthony and left the message on his answering machine and said, brother, I've been praying about your mother, and all I can get is Psalm 30. That's all I can get. Praise God. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a coincidence. But here was another coincidence. I had at Falk, Arkansas, planned to preach on Wednesday night in Hanford, California, that message I preached on that Sunday night. And they said, we've got a surprise for you tonight. Brother Freddie and Sister Shirley Lester are going to be here. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, if I would have went to Prague, Oklahoma, and was preaching, I thought there might be a chance that she would be there. One service. But to go to Hanford, California, and her show up, the one service that I was planning on preaching from Psalm 30 and 5, I'll tell you, that's more than just a coincidence. I guarantee you. I was praying on Tuesday morning. I said, God, I know I'm in such your will. I always try to pray through about where I go, but I'll just tell you, I had such an amazing knowing that I was in the perfect will of God out there. It was unbelievable. Amen. And sometimes I have leanings that I'm in the will of God, but boy, I'll tell you. And that night when they came in and I told Brother Freddie, I said, you're not going to believe what I'm going to preach on tonight, but this is what I said, I had this before I came. And I'll just tell you the truth. If they'd have shouted me down that night, they would have been out of the will of God, but they didn't. They didn't do it. Amen. They sure didn't. Amen. I honestly thought they might have her testify and people rejoice about how good she's doing, that it might just turn into a worshipful thing. And hey, listen, I'm all for a move of the Holy Ghost, but it was a move of the Holy Ghost for me to have this message now. I guarantee you there was. And so anyway, I went to the pulpit and I got to telling this and preaching this, and the Holy Ghost came down, and I don't know what all was done in the altar, but Abdias called me before service and let me know from Sister Abigail some of the things that was done at Raisin City. But it wasn't just that night. But I'm telling you, I had to just tell you that God works things out. How? I mean, listen, again, if I'd have went to Prague, you got to understand, she was out there, but she was only strong enough to come to one service. Just one service. That's it. If I even went to Prague, hey man, there was a chance she could have been there one night. But there's a big chance that she would have only been able to come one service. How could I pick that out? Huh? I couldn't have picked it out. Hey, man, I couldn't have picked it out. And so I'm telling you, how could I have picked out one service in Hanford, California, that she was going to be able to be there? Oh, glory be to Jesus. All that I can say is God was writing in big letters for some people right there. Now listen, in my estimation, God set up this meeting, amen, for the king. Amen. God wanted to show the king how great a God that he was, that he can arrange whatever, whenever he wants to. Amen. God did it for the king. God may have done it for Gehazi too, to let him see he don't need no leper's gold and he don't need no leper's clothes. God can take care of him. Don't need no half-hearted service, Gehazi. Serve me with all your heart and life. Amen. And maybe he was doing it for the widow woman to say, listen, don't worry. Your husband may be gone, but I'll take care of widows. I'll take care of widows. You don't have to worry. However that it was, amen, I'm sure he was speaking to everybody, but God recorded it in the Bible for us. Amen. God showed it in the Bible for us. And I believe in all reality, God, amen, had all of that happen for several people out there. Because there was people, just some even was praying, some fell over in the altar. I don't know what all was going on in their lives. But Sister Shirley called me the next day. She said, you have no idea the people that needed that message so desperately out there. She said, I knew. But, and I just got it from several different about that night. And maybe even God brought Charles Barnett, who's 79 years old, whose wife is deteriorated, whose son is in horrible shape, whose daughter, Mary Beth, is in terrible sickness. And even when it didn't look like he's going to make it, all of a sudden at the last minute, he was able to make it. And maybe God caused him to show up. That was the first service he was there. Maybe God caused him to show up. He said, I'm going to get that. I'm going to have my wife listen to this. Hallelujah. Listen, folks. God can bring people together. And it's more than a coincidence. It's providence. And God can have somebody prayed for and a tongues and interpretation go forth and somebody latch hold of that. And it's more than a coincidence when their blood pressure's okay and they go back to the doctor. Maybe the doctor had it set up. Amen. Or God had it set up to where that nurse or that doctor or those people right there would hear the testimony. Amen. How great God is at the right time. Listen, God has his coincidences. Providence set up for the sinner. Amen. Set up even sometimes for people that's half-heartedly serving him to show, amen, that he should be devoted wholeheartedly and sometimes to the weak and say, there's no way I can get out of this. And God says, amen, I'll set it up to show you I can take care of you. I'd take care of you when you go into a far country. I'd take care of your land while you're away. I'd take care of it, amen, even before the highest of authorities. I can take care of it all. Hallelujah. Now just put it in my hands. And now wait a second, I can take care of it pretty good myself. You can't take care of it as good as he can. And while you're taking care of it, you're worried. But if you can ever put it in his hands, he can take care of your heart, and he can take care of the land at the same time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, coincidence, a providence should give us confidence. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When that troubled preacher's wife came up to me after service, I believe it was that very night, but I'm not sure. There was a preacher that was really going through. I don't know what it was. You could just see it all over his face at the beginning of the meeting. If you'd have seen his face at the end of the meeting, you'd have saw joy and a brightness. You understood God had done something. But that night, his wife came up to me, and he was standing there, and she said, I just couldn't believe it. While we was on our way to church, My husband said a few things, and you got up and quoted what he said. She said, I thought, my, what an awesome God. Hallelujah. You said exactly what he said, and I guess maybe gave whatever answer that they needed for that situation. I want to preach to you here tonight. You can have confidence. Amen. You widows that are here, God will take care of you. And I know you've got family. You even got a church family that'll help you. Amen. We're not like it was back in this day. But I also want to tell you, God will take care of you. Amen. And if you're weak, amen, you got some other problems. I'm telling you, the Lord that took care of widows back in this day, he'll take care of the weak right now. He'll protect you. You obey, and God will reward. Do not cast away your confidence. Hallelujah. Oh, he can help you with your family. He can help you with your finances. He can heal your body. He can heal your heart. He can do it. Oh, yes, he can. Just got to put it in his hands, though. Hey, but wait a second. I'd like to stay there and guard it all. I'd like to put up a fence and guard my land and guard it all. You can't guard it as good as God can. Amen. He'll give you peace while he guards not only the stuff and your family. He'll guard your heart. Hallelujah. That scripture says, and the peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. The word keep is like a military keep. Y'all heard of a military keep? Where it's guard. It's something where they guard. God will guard your mind with his peace. Could we all stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you raise your hands and give God a praise here? Glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like for us all to gather in the altar. I'm sure that there's some that needed this message more than others. If you'd feel led to pray with some, maybe God would move upon you to lay your hand on someone you know is carrying a heavy burden, and you can bless them by being a blessing to them. And I just want to encourage you. It's more than just a coincidence when there's providence like this. God's working. Yes, he is. It's more than a coincidence for you to be here in service tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Amen.